Lord, I just thank you once again for this avenue that you've given us to fellowship together with like-minded believers. And I thank you, Father, for the heart that you've given everybody here for each other. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you place in our hearts for each other. And I praise you, Father, for the intercession that goes on in this fellowship, Lord. And I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us tonight. You're going to be talking through us. You're going to be leading us, guiding us, and directing everything that we do, Lord. And I praise you for it. I thank you for all the new people that are coming in tonight. And I just, you know, Lord, it's just a lot of things happening in the world out there. And it looks like there's no way out. But when we've got you to fall back on, Lord, we don't have to worry about what's coming up. All we have to do is keep our eyes locked on you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to be in the rest and how to have patience and not get worried about things. The circumstances around us, you have ordained. And if you've ordained them, there's nothing for us to worry about. All we have to do is pray and rest in the knowledge and trust you. Father, I just praise you for all the input that you're going to do tonight. You know, Lord, it's not just me. It's everybody in here. I have a part. They have a part. Everybody in here has a part in this body ministry. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time for everybody. And I thank you, Lord, that people will be blessed by it because you're in charge. You're leading and guiding with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, mine's kind of a prayer request, but it's also a praise report. Okay. And yesterday I was working at the food bank, and there's a young man that I've known off and on for about 8 years. He cycles kind of in and out of the community, and you know, he's got his struggles, but you know what? I've talked to him a bit about the Lord, and you know, people that know me there know that I love the Lord. So anyway, David was talking to me yesterday, and he told me he wanted to get set free of drugs, and asked him if he wanted to get set free of alcohol too, but he's not quite ready to give that one up yet. But I did get to talk to him some about Jesus, you know, about do you believe that Jesus came to redeem you from all the power and the curse of sin and death, and do you believe that, you know, he wants to be your savior, and, you know, wants to live in your heart? And we had a really nice little talk, and then I prayed with him to get set free of drugs, and also cast a spirit of addiction out of him. And so I would I just want to thank the Lord for that, because he's one of the ones I've prayed for off and on for years. And also I've been watching some of the film clips from the Hebrides revival. And, you know, the thing that's really struck me about that is how the presence of God came down and made people so aware of their spiritual condition. And just really made them, the presence of God coming down on their hearts, just made them want to be right with the Lord, and that all they could do is think about the Lord and seek the Lord and pray to the Lord and want to be right to the Lord and with the Lord. And so I've been praying that for our community here. We've been praying for revival here for a long time. We have a lot of homeless people, people that don't work, a lot of drug addicts, a lot of alcoholism, just everything. So anyway, I was blessed to get to pray for David yesterday, and I just like for the ones here to stand in faith with me. And oh, also David called me today. He got a really good job, a well-paying job, and I think it's working for a Christian guy that builds log homes. I knew he had the interview set up for today, and so I'm believing good things there, and it's going to be a much better work situation for him. So Lord, I lift David up to the throne of grace. And Lord, I want to thank you for bringing David across my path. And Lord, I just also thank you and praise you that when the Holy Ghost is there opening the doors, you don't have to do anything but just open your mouth, and you'll just bring people. And so, Lord, I thank you for that divine appointment with David yesterday. And Lord, I do pray that you're going to bless David, that you're going to draw him just closer and closer to you, like I prayed for him yesterday by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that the Spirit of truth is going to enlighten the eyes of his understanding, and that you will grant unto him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the true knowledge of Christ. Lord, that you will give him eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe the fullness of the real good news. Lord, I pray you'll bless him and prosper him, show him favor with his new boss, and if indeed his boss truly is a Christian, that he would even take David under his wing and disciple him. And Lord, I just pray that he will stay out of the wrong crowd. There's a lot of the wrong crowd around here, and Lord, that you're going to keep him occupied and doing fruitful things in the natural, and as you bring him in fully into the kingdom. And Lord, some plant and some water, and God gets the increase. So we just thank you and praise you. Keep a hedge of protection around him. I pray for the presence of your angels around David, driving the darkness out of him and away from him. And Lord, I pray you're going to give him a desire to be set free of alcohol and cigarettes and just wrong relationships, Father. And I pray you bless this young man, Father, because your word says you'll bless those that bless us and curse those that curse us. And David's been a blessing to me. When he comes down and helps at the food bank, he's a blessing to me. So I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Lord. We just count it all as done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, a song. Boy, it's going to be a long night. Praise God. No, it's not. It's going to be a short one. Okay, Dave, go ahead, brother.
It's not a testimony. I just thought I'd ask for prayer again. This is for my daughter. She's in Costa Rica. So that given the last last teaching from David about possibly things taking off here in April or March, it may be possibly getting kind of crazy around the country. I want to pray for my daughter's safe return when she does come home, that she's able to come home to a country that she's still able to enter and all that stuff. There's no problem, no customs issues, no plane issues, you know. I don't know. I just in case. So, Father, not knowing the future, but you know it, I lay Emily in your hands so that when her time's up in Costa Rica, that she's able to fly home safely and get back here where she should be with her family. I say that, and that's going to be the beginning of May. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, regarding that, I've got something I want to share with you a little bit later when we get through with this. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Wayne. Hey, bud. Go ahead, Missy.
I forgot to share this with y'all. I told you about how my mom wanted me to come in July and stay with their dog while they went to North Carolina to visit family. Well, I sent my mom an email, and the Lord, I knew the Lord gave me just the right words of how to say it to her, you know, and but anyway, to tell her that I couldn't. That's the short of it. But anyway, so later in the day she called me and I'm like, okay. I'm wondering, you know, what she's going to say. But, you know, she was like totally fine with it. And she told me what happened was she woke up that morning with doubts about whether she should go. And she felt like that was the Lord speaking to her. And then my dad came to her mind and she realized that it was going to be a tough trip for my dad. So she asked him about it and he said no, that he didn't want to go. She's still going to go, but my dad's going to stay home. And then just earlier today, she said that my sister-in-law and niece are going to take turns going and staying with my dad and the dog because, you know, she just can't leave my dad home by himself. So I was like, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Yeah, Wayne, go ahead. I'm sorry. I saw you reaching for the mic here.
Oh, well, I just appreciate being here. I'm still trying to figure out all this stuff on my phone, and I got to get hooked into my computer because I'm sitting here bent over my phone trying to figure out whatever going on. <Yeah, laughs> maybe a short something that everybody can keep in mind. I've got the opportunity a couple times this year possibly to go down to Honduras. Some of the people that I work with are going down there actually building a hospital in Honduras. And I just need possibly a little extra prayer for that because I would like to go down, but I got to get my passport and all that type of stuff. And I think it's going to be exciting. But anyway, it's nothing big, but I'm just going to sit here and just kind of enjoy what's going on here to see what's happening.
Yeah. Hey, what month is that you're supposed to, you might go down to Honduras?
Well, I don't know. They just went down this week. The other guys just went down this week. And I wasn't prepared to go. I didn't know nothing about it. They just left. But probably about every 3 months or so, they're going to take a trip down there. And they'll probably have me down there during the finishing phases of the hospital. So I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I want to get out of the country again. But, you know, but anyway, that's a thought.
Yeah. Are you kin to Pat?
Yes. He's my brother.
Okay. Well, I will pray for you, brother.
Okay, thanks.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for Wayne. We thank you, Father, that you're going to show him whether he's to go or not to go or what he's supposed to do. Father, that's the way we have to be done, is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to let him know one way or the other in Jesus' name. If he's not to go, Lord, I ask that you close every door. But if he is, I ask that you open them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. It's done. Anybody else? Hey, Leo. Good to see you on, brother. Hi, Willie.
Hey, Michael. Hi, everybody. God bless you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, Lord. Well, there's something I do want to share with you. Mr. Andy, y'all know my old boy Andy. Two days ago, I use his Daily in His Presence book for my daily doohickey. It's essential, the sinful nature crucified, and he quotes Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with his passions and desires. Then Andy said, concerning the sinful nature, Paul told us, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, Romans 7 and 18. And the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, Romans 8 and 7. When Adam lost the Spirit of God, his sinful nature took control, a condition that has been passed on to every one of us as his descendants. When the disciples heard Jesus' invitation to follow him, it was their sincere intention to do so. Later, when they realized what it would entail, they were far from being ready to yield immediate obedience. Today, too many of his followers do not appreciate all that is involved in following Jesus. For such a surrender implies the crucifixion of the sinful nature and the regarding of it as a thing cursed and nailed to the cross. Sadly, many Christians have yet to see it thus. Perhaps the preaching of Jesus crucified has been defective in that it has failed to point out that we have been crucified with Christ. Perhaps there is a recoiling from the self-denial that it requires, and that the Spirit of God has thereby been unable to exert his power. Paul taught, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, Romans 8 and 14. The Spirit of God, however, can only lead when the sinful nature is kept nailed to the cross. We need, therefore, to live in the crucified one and, like Paul, to glory only in the cross on which the world and the sinful nature are crucified. Well, Father, I fear I have become so used to my sin that it ceases to bother me much. Please change me. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. You know, if you remember the story of Moses, the Lord said that Moses was the meekest man on earth. Now, this was that after he, when he, before he went out. Now, he was probably one of the most arrogant on earth until he went out into the desert at 40 years old. And he went out into the desert 40 years old and became the meekest. God took it all away from him. And he became patient with God. And you know what happened? Because of that meekness that he had, he became one of the most powerful men of God in the whole Bible because of all the things that God used him for. That was because of that meekness. And that's one of the things that really struck me was the meekness, and also Abraham. He taught Moses while he was in the desert patience, a lot of patience, and a lot of grace. Taught him how to have that grace too, just like he did Abraham, until Sarah got to messing around with God's stuff, you know. Of course, old Abraham, he's sitting back in there, you know, doing it too, you know. She said, why don't we try this, Abraham? You just do what I tell you to do. We'll just do this the right way. But then what happened? Things got messed up. Y'all know the story. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of relate that. That meekness is part of that patience, waiting on God for the things that he wants us to do. Not what we want to do, but what God wants us to do. And that's becoming more evident to me every day. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
Hey, the thing I like about Moses is the fact that always the people were rebelling And he was always falling on his face and praying to the Lord about him. I think that's part of the meekness that you're talking about. The Lord even said, I'll kill all of them and make you a great nation. I'll start a new nation right out of you. And he said, no, Lord, just save those people and have mercy on them and so forth. And that always stood out to me that he was a meek man, a meek man. And that meekness doesn't necessarily mean being sissified. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Christ was like that too. He was a meek man as well. And he was so powerful, so powerful. And so was Moses. So,
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Amen. Yeah. Well, how many of us would have said, yeah, but Lord, just go ahead and burn them, you know, instead of what Moses did. He fell on his knees and went to crying out for him. Go ahead, Wayne.
That was almost a full-time job for him, though. They were always in rebellion.
Yeah. Go ahead, Wayne.
Here we are, back online. This just kind of spurred something in me, something that the Lord has really been kind of teaching me. It's only at the point where I realize that I really don't have nothing to offer the Lord is really the time when he's able to step in and do stuff for a week. I found that more and more often. Just in my daily events at what I'm doing, I run my own business and stuff. And I found it to be, in one respect, such a blessing to realize that it wasn't really, as far as I can see, wasn't on my shoulder to live the Christian life, but it was Christ through me living the Christian life and basically going about doing his business. And another thing that hit me too was the fact that the gospel of Christ that we live by is actually a adopted gospel, that we have to learn how to understand Christ and to adopt his way of thinking and his way of doing in order to be a blessing to the other people that we're basically around. So that's all I had to say.
Amen. Yeah, we have to humble ourselves to the Word of God. And that's how we learn how to walk like Christ, is to renew our mind with the Word of God. That's the only way we can do it. And pray and seek God's wisdom. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I was, when you were reading that, it a couple things hit me. There was 1 Peter 5:10, where it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory." Then I went up at verse 6 and kind of put that in context. In verse 6 in 1 Peter 5, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I remember when the Lord first gave me that way back when, that I was in the mindset that it's due time, Lord. I'm through the humbling. I'm ready to get into the due time. Yeah, but that didn't quite happen. But that, because after that, you learn to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And while you're at it, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It kind of reminded me a little bit about what the normal organized established church of today teaches, that your life in Christ ends and begins at conversion. You get baptized and you're off and running, and that's your life. You've done it. You've crossed over the line and you've made it. And they don't have a very full understanding of the discipleship that needs to take place afterwards in actually absorbing and appropriating and assimilating that word into your heart and then allowing it to come in and transform and take all these things out, separate you from the kingdom of darkness, and so that you can walk in the kingdom of light with the Lord. And this process from 1 Peter, you know, it's from verse 6 to verse 10 there, is that process of God then taking you and humbling you, and you casting your care upon him, he taking you through and overcoming and learning to overcome and learning to teach others to overcome. And then you learn to fight the battles and receive that grace that God gives. All of that process seems to be missing in the set in the pew once a week church that is in existence today. And so for me, it was very important. That was a very important understanding, or to realize that God is taking us through. We come to him, make that transition, trust him for the life that he's given us, to cast all our sin upon him, and making that transition. And that's just the starting point of the rest of your life. So anyway, that's what those verses, idea of Moses going through the wilderness kind of brought that to my mind. So, all right.
Amen. Well, as everybody knows, that we have found out through God's wisdom helping us that if you don't bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold by exhibiting Jesus Christ in their life at least that much, you're not going to make it. And that's, we have a salvation. It's instantaneous, as David's book says. It's instantaneous upon a coming to Christ, but then it's a progressive salvation that we have to walk out. It's a race that we're in until we go home. It's a race. If you're not in the race, you're not in the race. And the race is to race after Jesus with all your heart and to exhibit the attributes and the characteristics of Jesus in your life every day. And that's the great part about it, God's grace. When you're doing all you know to do, then you're okay. You're fine. It's when we stop and we sit down that we kind of miss it. And that's what most of the church world's doing. They think faith is that Jesus died on the cross and I ain't got to do nothing but get my ticket punched and I'm out of here. And of course, we all know that that's not true. It's a walk that he's having. Listen, this walk that we're in is a trial. It's a test. And he's testing us daily. How many of you ever just said, man, I just want to quit, you know, until we figure it out. If we quit, how many lives are going to be affected around us? You can't quit. We can't quit. We've got family members that need help. We've got people we know around us and work around us that need that help. And we're the only source of light that they have. You can't give up. We don't give up. We just keep plugging away. I can't tell you, you know, I throw up my hands. Well, this, you know, sometimes that'll enter your mind, but you just get down on your knees and you ask God to help you out. He'll do it. He'll bring you right along. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about when you were mentioning Moses was I thought about Moses, and you think about Joseph, and you think about David. They all three, and there's more. I know there's more. And Jesus, they would intercede for God's people. They had that heart for others. The meekness that you talk about, they were able to receive correction. When they had an opportunity for vengeance, they didn't take it. You know, they let the whatever happened to them fall in God's hands and let him take care of everything around them. They might have got frustrated with the situation and expressed their frustration sometimes, but they didn't take anything in their own hands and make correction. It was told by God to take care of something, then they would go and do something about it. Otherwise, they didn't take that initiative to do that. So I found that to be kind of interesting, and I'm seeing that's going to be characteristics of the man-child person too. I mean, they're going to have a leadership position. They're going to have a lot of people underneath them, or they're going to be guiding, I'll put it that way, in that position. And they're going to be men of God. They're going to be very meek in a sense, but they're also going to have authority and the power, but they're going to be there to guide and direct, and they're going to have a heart for God's people. That's what I was trying to, where you draw, where you see that's the kind of people that God's going to have in that position. That's what I was just thinking.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? How long was it that David waited before he got crowned? What, about 15 years? I mean, he was chased all over the countryside.
Yeah, that was quite a chase. That was quite a experience. And that was all about humbling him there. What can we draw from that?
Well, you saw what he did there two or three times when he had a chance to kill Saul a couple of times. He didn't do it. He brought it to Saul's attention. You know, he could have. How many of us would have been, I got to whack this guy. Lord, I got this chance. But no, he didn't, because God was working it out in him. He was working patience in him.
And even during that time, he was fighting God's battle still, fighting against the enemy.
Still going.
He stayed with the task.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Anybody else?
I think something else we can draw from David and the Lord. They were men of prayer. They sought the Lord about everything, you know. They didn't depend upon their own self to come up with the answers and sustain themselves. Even though they would act out on and do what needed to be done at the moment, they would go to the Lord about everything. And remember when, even with Bathsheba, when his first son died, and he was in sackcloth and ashes, he was still just seeking the Lord, even during that time, the whole time, always seeking the Lord, even though he knew what the answer was, just like Jesus was saying, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. David's doing the same thing, seeking the Lord, trying to intercede for his son that hadn't died yet. But once he died, he went and washed himself off, got himself something to eat. You know, he just was still, all that time, he was seeking the Lord about the possible curtailing that death. But once it happened, he just, you know, continued on with his life. So he took the will of the Lord, you know, over his own will, but he still was interceding. You
know. He took it all. What was unique about David? He took it all to the Lord. And you can go through the Psalms, man. You can just see his heart. He had a heart for God, man. Lord, help me in mine iniquities. Lord, you know, he was just continually asking the Lord to help him out, because he knew he couldn't do it himself. And that's the way we have to be. Yeah, that Pat put up there, 1 Peter 5 and 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's a good one. All right, anybody else? Okay. Nobody else wants to talk. I don't mind talking. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. I can do that. Yes, God. Well, I know you can too, Pat. Go ahead.
Unfortunately.
Go right ahead, brother.
I'd like to read something. I don't know what I was thinking it's probably been a week ago, but I asked the Lord to give me an overview of a kind of in bullet points of the life of discipleship, I guess, and ending up where I'm at now type of thing. And I mean, I've been a Christian for, I don't know, 40 years, something around there. And I think back, like I was just reading, like, about David, that came, you know, he went through an experience in his life. He herded the sheep for his father, who was a shepherd, and then he went through a time in his youth where he was used by God to slay Goliath, and was raised up, and then inherited the kingdom. That he was given the kingdom, became king, and then he fell. His whole life, if you look at the overall part of his life and the transition and the play and how he made it to where he ended up in life, etc., it's kind of interesting to look at the overview. But so I asked the Lord to give me kind of a table of contents of bullet points. Now, why I asked that, I do not know. I was in the shower singing, and it came to me. And anyway, this is what the Lord gave me. And I kind of titled it, Needing a New Clean Heart. And it starts out with bullet point one, or number one, the aspect of our beginning in being born from above in order to see the kingdom of God. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, I say unto you that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 2, growing through discipleship and learning to apprehend what I am newly comprehending of the ways of God through grace in Christ. through. Three, the experimental excitement of my youthful perspective of the kingdom, of walking in the truths of Jesus, unashamedly telling others of my new awareness and freedom. Four, becoming aware of the acceptance and rejection of my experience from others. Five, in this maturing process, becoming aware of experiencing failure in some parts of my life, in my ability to apprehend those places of faith, and discovering the old man still living in the land. Six, experiencing the tempering of my youthful excitement with the dull awareness of an unwanted, seemingly impregnable presence of an earthly perspective that simply won't die and leave me alone. Seven, the settling down in my walk in this path into the mixture of a life of a weathered, worn, constantly on guard, battle-weary soldier, interdispersed with rays of refreshing sunlight from the presence of the Lord. Eight, seeing that this present mixture of life within me does not have the resources sufficient to carry me through to the coming battle we are about to face, let alone being able to give up my loved one, give my loved ones and others guidance. Boy, this sounds depressive, doesn't it? Nine, O Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And when I got to that ninth one, I went over to Psalm 51 and I read that. And this was David's prayer of repentance after he was king, after he went through David and Goliath, defeated Goliath, took the kingdom, went into, became the king and led the people of God. And he says, have mercy upon me. After, and this was after the Nathan the prophet came to him and spoke to him about his sin with Bathsheba. And he, of course, then spoke, entered into a time of prayer and confession with God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, and I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I at the time I did, I read that this whole psalm, and it was that man of God, David, who had started with such enthusiasm, and God took him to the pinnacles of kingdom, and then he was taken down, he was cast down by his own sin, and he came back and repented and said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. That whole psalm just blessed me as I was reading that. It was just like what I had said up to that point, that psalm spoke to me of what was in my heart and what was God was doing. 10, becoming aware of the promise, even in this late stage of my experience with the Lord, that God has made provision to change this inner mixture of life with a new, clean, clear, single-focused, powerfully free awareness to walk in harmony with every desire of his heart. John 17:21. Jesus' prayer, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And then he gave me a bunch of scriptures. When I might just paste them in the chat room. But I know that the Lord has had me in Ezekiel 36 for quite a while. And just that part in, I think, in the last of that chapter where God is saying that he will pour out his spirit again in this last day, but he will have to be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And it just seems to me like that looking at the saints of old and the examples, and even reading some of the material from John Wesley and some of the saints in the 1700s, 1800s, is that there seems to be this renewal, like in the last stages of our walk or life or whatever, that God comes and renews. I think, I mean, one obvious example is Abraham at the stage of 100 years. I have to quit saying 100. My wife keeps correcting me about that, but at the stage of...
What's wrong with 100? I'm just asking, what's wrong with 100?
I can't say. I've been using it for so long, I don't know. But that there's this last stage or later stage of renewal that God has made preparation for us, has given us as a promise. So until somebody talks me out of it, I'm still going to believe God for it. So anyway, I just thought I would share that.
Okay. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Leo.
I was just going to say that David just taught about there's the Northern Army, and then there's going to be a revival. Well, I think in that revival, it's going to revive us too. We're going to experience a personal revival, along with all the lost people that are going to come in to the Lord. We are going to receive a revival as well.
Amen. I believe that too.
Like you, Pat, I'm in need of a revival myself. So,
yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
That was really good, your bullet points there, Pat. But, you know, when you brought got to the point of where it's kind of depressing while you were giving your list, I was thinking you need to have some like 1.1s and 2.1s and stuff of the joy that comes with knowing that we have a relationship with the Lord and that our sins are forgiven, you know, the joy of that and the burdens being lifted off our shoulders and those other things that are mixed in with the, you know, kind of the, not really drudgery, but the growing process. There's a lot of joy and a lot of good times to be had in there as long, along with all the, you know, sacrifice and stuff like that, that makes it not quite as burdensome as your list made it sound.
I'd be willing to email that list over to you and have you fill in some of the blanks if you want.
Oh, me.
That's your homework assignment for Tuesday.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What Leon was talking about, go ahead, Wayne.
Well, I really wasn't planning on talking this much. I was just tuning in any more or less to see that you guys weren't drinking poison and praising Jesus or whatever. But I don't know. I guess I had probably back in 2013, I had a real revelation of grace. I was in a real downtime in my life where in contracting, I was so crazy worried and had so much anxiety about, you know, bringing in money and doing the right thing for the Lord. And I come to a, I guess you might say, a crashing point where, and it was a lot about my, at that time, my religious experience with the Lord. And the Lord says, he very plainly spoke to me, you know, I mean, he doesn't do it all the time, but he said to me, just allow me to support you. And it was kind of a cool point because it was not, I'm not going to, you know, the Lord didn't say, well, I'm not going to support you or I, you know, I can support you. But he just says, allow me to support you and realize that it's not what you can do for Christ, but it's what Christ has done for you. And that any more or less took my, totally turned my whole perspective around, that it wasn't what I could do for God, which was going to make a difference. It's what Christ had done in me and through me, that he was going to be glorified through my life. And it was at that point that I realized that I was in the religious system for about 30 years, and I realized that I had spent my whole time in there basically doing all these wonderful works of righteousness for God, which really actually counted for nothing. And the Lord just basically kind of showed me that it, you know, it wasn't about my self-righteousness that was really going to do the trick. It was going to be about him and what he was doing for me and what he had done for me on the cross. So that was just a thought.
Amen. Go ahead, Diane. Yeah, I'll help you out.
Can you hear me? Go,
yeah.
I was waving at my husband. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I waved at him. Oh, I forgot okay. about raising your hand. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. That's fine. We understand.
Okay.
Don't you ever do it again, though. That's what I'm saying. All right.
Wayne, were you through?
Yeah, but unless you want me to talk some more. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, y'all have heard David talking about just what Leon was talking about there, about the Northern Army. And we've been getting words about this army coming in and creating havoc in this nation of ours. We've already got it happening down there on the border, on the southern border. We've got thousands upon thousands of them coming in. I forget how many they caught the other day, or this past month, of 76,000, not counting the ones that got away, you know. Probably three times that got away. But anyway, I can see how God's going to use this to bring people out of the apostate religion that we've all been a part of at some point in our life. We know there's good people in there, but there's also people in there that won't run after the Lord, that all they want is just to feel good that they're doing okay. You know, but anyway, God's fixing to fix that. And I want to read this as something else we came across today. Let me see here. Scientists predict large quakes. This is on March the 20th of all dates. Scientists agree a major string of earthquakes should come on March the 20th when planets align, which set off previous quakes. This is our spring and target date for turmoil from the deep state from 318 to 320, including pestilence and invasion. And then David's got a link there something there. Scroll up for part one also. Okay, we were warned by the Alliance to have spare food, water, and gas sometime before the March 18th, 20th time period. Have a way to cook, too. And then Robin says, here's a snippet of the report at the link given below in Dave Fagan's email. Says, increasing concern about the possibility mega earthquake, the report says, is based on the growth of subtle electromagnetic signals that were detected in the upper atmosphere of the Earth in many parts of the world. With the most intense, they appear on the U.S. West Coast and parts of the Midwest. And it's important to note that Russia and British scientists are leaders in predicting earthquakes based on these subtle electromagnetic signals and have joined forces to launch a satellite into space to better track them. More ominously, the report is that Russian scientists have confirmed the independent analysis of New Zealand mathematician and long-term weather trends forecaster Ken Ring, who predicted the deadly earthquake in Christchurch in New Zealand, and this week issued a new warning that the new earthquake should strike around the 20th of March. And that's all we got on that. I could go, but that's enough to let you know that something else to add to the equation is that what could happen. You know, we're not saying this is thus saith the Lord, but it seems like things are lining up pretty good now. And the only thing that we need to be, we don't have to be anxious about anything. If you're in the will of God, you don't have to worry about this thing. But I would ask that everybody get you some water in, because if the pestilence happens, there's going to be martial law. If the earthquakes happen, there's going to be martial law. Just know that. And if martial law is in, you're not going to be able to go run down to the local Walmart. There ain't going to be no trucks pulling stuff in there, because they're going to shut it all down. And we also believe that during this period of time of martial law, that the deep state will be taken down at that period of time, and that the government will be cleansed of all of these treasonous people that are in there. So anyway, that's something to think about, something to pray about, and something to prepare yourself. We generally put enough stuff in here. If somebody needs some stuff, we got it, you know, and we just give it away. That's the only reason. We put a little water in here. We have water. We've got 600, 900, 1,200 gallons of water stored around this mountain. I can take a shower when there's not a bit of electricity in the house. I can do that because we got one up here on the mountain that I'm on the second floor. I live on the second floor, and that's got enough head pressure to give me a shower up here. I'm going to smell good. I don't care about y'all. I'm going to smell so good. Don't be coming up here asking for a shower. Ain't going to happen.
Kind of one-sided there, Michael.
Oh, no. I'd let anybody take a shower. You know that. Go ahead, Pat.
Question. Do you... I have been thinking about buying a couple of handheld radios. Those handheld, it would be, what is it, short band or something like that? Just so you can, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If it were me, I'm a ham operator, you know that, probably all of you know that. I'm an amateur radio operator. I would get a 2 meter and a 70 centimeter dual band radio from Biofine. They're about $25 and they are good. And I'd get the big antenna. I'd get the long antenna for it. And you can pick up your local repeaters. The amateur radio operators around there will probably be the only ones broadcasting, because they know how to do that stuff.
So, can you email that or paste that information in the chat or something?
Yeah.
And you have to? Do you have to have a license to use that? No.
Well, yeah. During emergency times, during emergencies, you don't have to have a license. If that's the only way you got to communicate, you can use it. If it's an emergency.
Do you know if there are ways to communicate email or text via ham radio?
Through satellite.
I don't have a satellite.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know of any. Somebody else might. I don't know. Malcolm, you're in here. I don't know of any.
I was on another call. I took a call waiting thing, and I just got back on. You said Malcolm's here. You might know. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Now, you just missed your chance, Malcolm. You could have explained everything. You could have just shown wisdom all over this broadcast.
Now that would be building up the old man.
Okay. Pat had a good question. He said, is there any way we had talked about he wanted to know what kind of radio to get, and I told him probably a 2 meter and this dual band 2 meter 70 centimeter handheld would be fine. And I gave him, it's a ball thing. But he also asked, is there some way to text? The only way you can do it is RTTY.
Oh, well, they're all kind of digital modes.
Morse code.
Yeah, you could.
You could do it with a computer.
So wait, I'm a lot of questions, but so on the VHF bands, the very high frequency bands, it's like 100, you know, above, I don't know, 100 megahertz and higher. Are you trying to communicate over a short distance or?
My thought would be, I don't even have a radio, but the thought would be transmitting email over the ham, you know, wavelength. In other words, I mean, you can talk over it. You ought to be able to create an email and transmit that bit of digital information over the ham.
The only thing you can do, Pat, is set it up beforehand. If you've got somebody that you want to stay in touch with, and they, if they're just across town, I'm not talking, you can't do it state to state or off somewhere else unless you have a high frequency amateur radio, you know, like that. And you really have to have a license to do that. But to answer your question, across town, yes, you can. You can use 2 meters or 70 centimeter band.
Yeah. 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 You'd have to, all of it takes a license, but for instance, you can just hook up your laptop. And if you have your laptop hooked up, then you can use FL Digi, which is free. It's just the application that you run on your laptop, and then hook that up to your 2 meter radio or whatever. It doesn't matter what frequency you're using, just whatever you have. And then you have a choice of, man, must be 30, 50, 100 different digital protocols you can use. And some of them are really sophisticated. But, yeah, you can transmit anything. But as far as the FCT goes, you have to be within – first of all, recognize that anybody that hears you can decipher it also. So it's not like you're going to have any kind of privacy. But secondly, the FCC limits the content of what you can send. So
I guess my only thought that if in martial law or some sort of a catastrophe like that, it would be good to be able to transmit messages. I mean, you know, like... even like a UBM, you know, sermon message or something, scripture or some way of communicating other than just voice. Because we're speaking here right now because we've all got together. But if you don't have that ability, if we no longer have the internet, so to speak, then at least you could leave messages and communicate in that way.
Well, we're also looking at satellites, too. And if we do that, we might be able to come up with a way to get out the message. You know?
There's a lot to consider. For instance, if martial law is declared, the president has the authority to forbid all amateur radio communications. But it seems unlikely that would happen, because in an emergency situation is when communications become extremely valuable to a lot of people. So, of course, it could work against what the government's trying to accomplish, or it could, part of it could help, part of it could hinder. It just depends on how it's used, you know.
Well, the thing about martial law is that the emergencies take precedence over your hello, how are you kind of thing. If there's activity on there, people trying to find out how their brother is, or their sister is, or their wife is, or their husband is, that takes precedence over you wanting to say hello to Joe Blow over there, you know. And if it's active like that, you just might as well just shut it off until things calm down a little bit.
But if you're sending like an email, that's just a blurb. It's done. It's not like you're taking up a lot of time. It's you know, one zap and it's done.
We don't have email on unless you have the radio equipment and the PC set up to accept it. Ain't gonna happen. You're gonna talk voice or Morse code or RTTY or something like that. Radio telephone.
Okay.
So the other thing too is the FCC. You know, if it's a really dire emergency, I don't know if there may be some, because they're right in the SEC rules, there are provisions for really dire emergencies where somebody's life is at stake, where a person can transmit without a license, or, you know, all kinds of, there's a little bit of fudging allowed in an emergency situation. I think that's more in terms of a personal emergency. But the other thing to consider is that broadcasting, to my understanding, broadcasting is not allowed. In other words, you need to be communicating with somebody, not just sending out something that's kind of, that has no, you know, known recipient.
Unless, I mean, unless it's news about a road closing or something like that, he's right. There's no broadcasting allowed during the martial law.
Yeah, you can read. Yeah, you can read 90. You know, SEC 97 point whatever, and look at the rules there.
I don't want to.
I guess what I'm trying to think of is, let's just say, say we wanted to communicate. And there's no phones, the internet is down. But I would say have the ability to, say, send an email on a certain band or something. Send an email. It would go to a common receiver and translate that. And it would be set there waiting. And anybody that wanted to transmit or receive could transmit it anytime. You don't have that ability on radio to do.
Not during martial law. You're not going to have that.
Is it? Do you have it?
They're going to shut that. Do what?
Is the technology available to do it?
Sure, I do it every day on my PC. I do it every day on my iMac. I send emails and text messages. But during martial law, they're going to shut all that stuff down.
I'm saying over the radio.
Well, like I said before, there are applications that you can put on your computer, and I think Malcolm mentioned it too, that will read radio, telegraph, and telephone, RTTY. Which is teletype, okay? Teletype. When you type it, it types it in teletype, and it sends it over to somebody that you've already contacted to do that.
Okay.
You set up a time, place. Yeah, you can do that, but that's the only way. They have to have, unless they have a teletype machine, they have to, or a PC. You know, that's the only way to do it. You can do Morse code like that. You can get those apps. It does the Morse code. You can type in there, "Hi, Joe," and it'll send it out there in Morse code to him. He receives it, and his PC decodes what you said and puts it on there. Yeah,
they have
apps like that.
Yeah, with FLDigi, that's one. There's a lot of free, things and software that. You just tune your radio in through your sound card on your laptop, your PC, whatever. Mm-hmm. You bring in the audio, and actually, it's overwhelmingly amazing. You can have these really wide special receivers that have, you can receive across a huge swath of frequencies, it just grabs a whole big band, and you can see all this. Some software will decode like 200 something different transmissions all at the same time. You can just sit there and browse all of them, choose which one you want to answer, or just, sit there and read it. And you don't have to know Morse code or anything. So, but the software does all that work for you. And then if you want to send some, you just type it in and send it back. And also the software will control your radio if you have that kind of a radio. So, pretty nifty stuff. But remember back, Michael, I don't know if you remember the days of packet radio, but I was surprised at what was allowed, but they were sending, people were sending like just regular email and texting and all kinds of stuff all over the countryside. And they were doing, I kept wondering, was this actually allowed by the STC? But it was, good night, it was happening. It was, you know, it was like you could send stuff to a bulletin board, you know, a BBS.
Hey, let's go ahead and we're boring a lot of folks here with this radio. So let's go.
We can talk offline though. A lot of this stuff should talk offline anyway because this is listened to by a lot of governments.
If somebody is interested in it, we can set up a time and a place on Zoom and let everybody know what needs to be, what you got to have, the equipment to have, and the apps to do all that stuff. Research it first. And but you have to have a license to do this thing.
Yeah, just getting the license would just give you a good idea of what the capabilities are or aren't.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to get off for a bit. Nice to talk. I'll be back a little bit later, hopefully.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Bye.
Bye. I know in the past, me and Malcolm get talking about amateur radio, and it just turns everybody off. Of course, it's interesting to us. But anyway, where are we at? Oh, earthquakes and pestilence and, you know, little stuff like that.
I was going to ask, the Northern Army has been mentioned a few times. Now, is that going to be kind of a... that's not necessarily location. That could be from any direction, basically.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with area.
Well, just think of this: Canada is open borders, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I knew that, but also we're looking at the southern border too. We're almost
absolutely. That's where most of it's going to come from. Looks like.
I feel just, like that's talking about a Northern Army, but it doesn't really necessarily mean proximity at this point.
No, I wouldn't think so. Go ahead, Leah. Or was you just waving at your husband?
I was going to say that David dealt with that in last night's study. He talked about the people, the elites of the North, the government, the people involved in the government and so forth. That's all north of us. And
yep.
And so forth. And then, of course, like you just said, Dave, you got the open border. The Army's called the Northern Army, but it could have people that are coming from the South as well, you know, and it's just controlled by the North.
Oh, by the way, y'all, Bill had a dream, and the dream was that the Lord told him that Trump was going to win. Well, you remember, Leon, what all it was? No, I can tell already. Let me look here if I can find it. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
I have it right here if you want me to read it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'll try and read it so that, because it looks like he typed it up really quick, and it's kind of like not real organized. But anyway, anyway, I had a dream where it was told to me in no uncertain terms that Trump was going to get the victory, and then a revival was going to come. As it was being told to me, he saw a celebration of victory in a very beautiful rolling hills here in Tennessee. The words told me to him were, Trump is going to get the victory, then we're going to have a revival. It was said so much like a matter of fact, it was as if it had already happened. Anyway, that's basically the gist of it. And then he has something below that's not, you know, completely relevant. But that's the main point.
Yeah, I've got a little bit better copy maybe than you did. Said, I had a dream where it was told to me in no uncertain terms that Trump was going to get the victory and then a revival was going to come. As it was being told to me, I saw a celebration of victory in the very beautiful rolling hills here in Tennessee. The words told me Trump is going to get the victory, then we're going to have a revival. It was said so much like a matter of fact, it was as if it had already happened. By the way, Tennessee comes from the word Tanasi, T-A-N-A-S-I, which means the spirit, but ours has a capital S. Then it goes on and talks about where it works. And it was more or less where he works is Tanasi. He worked at Tanasi Village, Tanasi Road, Tanasi Way, Tanasi Lane. And he said, I get the message. And all of those roads that he worked on is on off of 444, Highway 444. And four is the number of trials, tribulations, and testing. And David says at the bottom, he said the Trump victory could be the declassification, arrest, and defeat of the Northern Army after their attacks on the U.S. When those attacks come, how many of you know that that's going to bring a revival? Because there's going to be a lot of people that's going to get hurt in it. A lot of people. And that's going to bring about revival. I believe it. I hope so. I'm ready to get this circus on the road. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Susan, go ahead. Go ahead, Susan. You have to unmute, huh? Here, I'll unmute you. Go ahead. Well,
hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Good. I just wanted to say, since we were talking political, you know, I've been watching the U.S. House today, most of the day, and the Democrats are trying to pass all these different amendments, and it's H.R. 1, it's called. And one of them is getting 16-year-olds to vote. And, you know, it just boggles my mind when a 16-year-old kid can't drive without somebody being in the car, can't buy alcohol, can't buy cigarettes, can't enlist in the military. However, he can vote. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And that would allow, you know, the illegal aliens to vote as well. Am I right?
Well, that's all going to be a moot point.
But, yeah, okay. God is in control, right?
Well, here's the deal. When all this stuff starts and martial law is instituted by Trump, he has absolute power. And during that time where he does have absolute power, a lot of people are going to jail, according to what we've been reading. And the Lord is going to drain the swamp. And that's going to be a moot point, all that stuff. We're going back to the Constitution. Lord, that's what we were just reading from Bill's dream or his word that he got from the Lord. Lord says Trump's going to win. I believe it. And that's what I'm putting my faith in. I don't put my faith in them demon rats at all. Go ahead.
Righty. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sue.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Leon.
You can't pass any bill that the president doesn't sign.
And the Senate doesn't pass.
Right. It has to go through the Senate and the House and has to be compared together. And then that goes to the president. And if the president doesn't sign it, it won't matter anyway. But like Michael was just saying, martial law. Won't matter
And then you'd have to have a two-thirds majority in the Supreme Court to in the Senate to override his veto. I think that's what it, where it works.
No, it has to be two-thirds in both houses.
Okay. It's got to be in both houses. That's going to be almost an impossibility. Okay. During martial law, let me just tell you what happened back in the 1860s. Back during the 1860s, when President Lincoln was the president, of course, what he did was arrest all of the publishing newspapers that came against the Constitution and talked against the Constitution. He arrested the owners, the publishers, and the journalists that did that. I forget how many it was, but it was quite a number. And put them in jail for treason against the United States. And I forget what articles it is that that they cited, but the same thing can happen anytime, you know. If you go, if you talk treasonous against this government, you're in hot water. I mean, you used to be, I don't know if y'all remember, some of you do probably remember, man, back in the 50s and 60s, you had to watch your mouth about talking about the president or the Senate or the House member, anything like that. Because, man, the FBI come beating on your door. But now you've got a lot of Democrats that are in government. Democrats like to grow government because it gives them leeways to do things that they wouldn't be able to normally do. And that's what's happening. Anyway, I want to get off of that. I know one thing, that Jesus has got us in his hand. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Only thing that we need to be doing now is to be praying for our loved ones. And when you pray for your loved ones, just pray that God uses this to bring them to him, whether they die in Christ, you know, or live in Christ. It makes no difference. We're going to spend eternity with them. So don't worry about what kind of shape they're in physically. Just worry about their spiritual nature. Not worry about it. Just believe for your household salvation. And believe that when you pray, you believe what you pray, you're going to have it, like Mark 11:24 said. And that's what I do. I know God's going to save everybody I've been praying for, because the word says it, don't it? So that's what I'd be doing. I wouldn't worry about the demon rats. I wouldn't be worrying about government other than to pray for President Trump. Make sure you keep him in your prayers, because he needs it. I've never seen a president come under attack like this one has. I've been watching it since the 50s. I like Ike. I saw him one time. Y'all can believe that or not. I saw him in 1960. Saw him out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Boy Scout Jamboree. He came around us in a big old long limousine with not a top on it. Doing about 40 miles an hour. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Andrew, how's it going up there in Canada?
Still pretty cold up here.
Well,
we'll have snow on the ground.
Oh my gracious.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, this today was a pretty hectic day for me. It was like one of those days where they come in and they say, okay, you can do this now. And then they bring another job to you. And then they bring another job to you. And And I'm going, oh, man, I better thank the Lord for this now, because I'm going to lose it if I don't. That's what was today anyway. So, you know, you get to reflect on a lot of stuff that happens during the day, and during the week, and these conference calls, and critiques you. And it helps you, and you get to see other people, what they're going through. And, you know, when they speak up on these things, they go, hey, man, I'm not the only one going through this. So it's very comforting and therapeutic. I guess it's the word. Jesus therapeutic. Anyway.
Yeah. Flesh killers.
Oh, let's have that flesh killer kill all the flesh. And, oh boy, burn it up, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Susan. Let me unmute you.
I know we.
Go ahead.
Sorry, can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah. That was on your end, bud. Okay. You were talking about the earthquake, right? And I know that there's a fault line that goes from Illinois all the way to Tennessee. Does it go by you two? Hello?
Yeah, I don't know that
one. Oh, you don't know? Okay.
I know the one that's called the Amish fault line that comes from New York all the way down. And then there's one that splits off. It comes on the west side of this valley that we're in.
Okay. That's probably the one I'm talking about then. Because I know it goes to Illinois and Missouri and back to Kentucky. So, you know.
We're on the eastern part of Tennessee. We're not on the western part.
Right.
Yeah.
But you just never know, you know. So it's always good to be prepared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
We got a fault on the western side, too, because it's on the eastern side, because it runs through North Carolina up on our north side, and we got the western one that runs, like you're saying, from New York down through and over to Memphis. And the ones that Susan are talking about are different ones, but they all connect at New Madrid Fault.
Well, where they connect is down in the Gulf.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you remember that dream that Sandy had about all of that New York quake. If it's going to be the first one, like Sandy's dream, she had four dreams about that thing. That's the one that's going to trigger the New Madrid.
Right.
That's the one that's going to create that big chasm, that 50-mile wide chasm all down the middle of the United States. And we've had dreams about it making four parts of the United States, making it in four quadrants, one going horizontally across and one going all the way down and splitting it four ways, four different places. But it's nothing to be worried about. If God wants you out of there, wherever he wants you, he can translate you, or he can send Leon over to get you. Translate you over and say, come on now, we got to beam us up. All right, Joe, what you got, buddy?
Morning, everybody. I just want to find out, is that earthquakes going to be worldwide or just for, because we very, very often we're getting earthquakes in Africa. I think I know about two. The last few years.
Yeah. Well, according to the article that I read, it's mostly in the United States is where it's going to be triggered. It's going to be triggered out west, Midwest to west, you know, mostly, according to that article. I don't know how they ascertained that, but there's some kind of way they did. I don't know. But when you have an earthquake as big as they're predicting, it's going to probably go worldwide. So I don't know. I'll come out there and get you, Joe. I'll get you and Nora and bring you on by.
That'll be fine, thanks.
Amen, brother.
No, you just hunker down where you're at and you'll be okay.
That's right.
Lord will take right. care of you.
Is it getting any easier there, Joe? Is the government backed off any?
I don't want to be political. It's too bad news in this country. Just be interesting. There's over 300 parties for re-election.
Sounds like the Democrats.
It's crazy. It's my personal, Lord is showing me to spend me more time with him. I think it's very important for me as well. And you can't even walk around this place. It's very, very bad.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we're still praying for you. Amen. But by the way, y'all that don't know, Joe's in South Africa. Let's see. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? We got some time now. George, how's it going? George? He must have fell asleep on the couch. Okay. Yeah, Leon, you'll sing a song.
No, I might sing one someday, but not right now.
Okay.
I could always sing the one that Pat was just quoting.
Yeah, creating me a clean heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I was going to say to you, don't you have a John Lake story of being around somewhere?
I always got a John Lake story. I don't know. Let's see what Susan's got here. Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead and unmute yourself. There you go. Come on. It's, what is it, star 6. There you go.
Okay, good. I just have a prayer for the gal that used to come on here, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a sweet person. I don't know her personally. But I wanted to talk to her just because of what she had asked for a prayer. So I wanted to talk to her, and then, you know, we kind of clicked a little bit. But, yeah, I'd like to pray for her. Okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you, and I just ask you, Lord Jesus, just to be with Sharon. We don't know all her problems, Lord, but you do. And we ask you, Lord, to just touch her and heal her. She's been off drugs for over a month now, and she shouldn't be going through withdrawals, Lord. I don't know if it's psychological, but whatever it is, Lord, I ask you, Lord, just touch her and heal her. And, Lord, I ask, I hope and I pray that she is going to a church that is not false teaching. And, just lift her up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okie doke.
Amen. Well, I'm going to pray too. We command that spirit of addiction off of her, and we command that after effects of it to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. We command all the pain, all the discomfort to go. In Jesus' name. Father, she's a child of yours. She's not under the curse, and we thank you, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for delivering Sharon. In Jesus' name. Okay. Well, Diane, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself or tell us something on Missy? Can you do that? Wait a minute. You got to unmute yourself. I'll do it for you. There you go.
Okay. I tried star six. I guess it didn't work.
No, on the PC, you just go up there with your cursor and click on it, on mute.
Oh,
unmute.
Okay. Oh.
That's your turn to tell on Missy. That's all you got to do. That's your job today.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
How do I say? No. Missy and I came from we were in the same background for a while. Well, I was in it way longer than she was. And on my spiritual journey, I kept looking for a church, right, to meet with people. And I went back to one I had been with two other times. I went back this third time. And this time the Lord, before, he was moving in me to go, to get out of Babylon. And I think he took me back this third time so that I would not just fade out into the sunset, but that I would tell the leaders why I was leaving. And so I did that last, a little over a week ago. I just told them that my husband and I, we just weren't on board with what was going on there. And we didn't want to make any waves and we didn't want to stumble anybody, that we just quietly wanted to just leave. And so it was kind of hard because we had a Christian school there and I was volunteering as a receptionist, and I really liked a lot of things about the school. And I was taking some classes at the Bible school just for the fellowship. But I just felt like, you know, I know better. I know better, and I don't want to settle for second best. The thing that bothers me and has been bothering me for the last quite a while is I feel like nobody is sounding the trumpet. People are not getting warned that the Lord is coming. And his reward is with him, but also his discipline is coming. And it just really is heavy on me that the different churches that I have visited, I don't hear picking up your cross and laying down your soul life. I just hear God is love. And we're all going to be raptured, and I know better. I know too much of the word that I know better, and I just can't go along with that. So, I'm not sure what the next step is, but I have been joining you again without being verbally involved since January, and. It's just an amen in my spirit. And I don't know what the Lord's doing, but maybe you're going to be my church life for the fellowship with other believers. But, and even with family members, the Lord is making me very uncomfortable. And they're mostly believers, Like I had one relative that wanted to come and visit me for a week, and she says, and we can go here and do that and do this and do that. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not sure the Lord's going to let me do all that stuff, but if you still want to come and see me, that's fine. Well, she changed her mind about coming to see me, and that's okay. But I'm not here. I'm not here. I don't want to judge her. I just want to follow the Lord. You know, it's, I don't have time to judge anybody, criticize anybody. I just have enough time. I'm going to be 70 next month. And I want my life to count. I want it to count, and I want to be well-pleasing to him. That's it. And it's getting more and more uncomfortable because he's having me share things with, give hard words in love, and give no's to people that want to do stuff, and without reasons. I don't need to give a reason. I'm just trying to follow him. And so that's where I am right now. And it looks like, you know, you guys might be hearing from me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, while we were talking, I don't know if you noticed, I left. And I didn't leave, but the computer cut me off. And I just took authority over it. And I said, Satan, the blood is against you. You will take your hands off this computer. I'm going to join this fellowship. And surely it came back on. But it's a war out there. And one thing, struggle that I have that I wish maybe you could pray for me is the lust for food. Food seems to be a giant in my land that I still struggle with. And recently, it's like I have really cravings for junk food that I didn't have before.
Amen, and sister.
So I don't, you know, I just, it bothers me. It's a giant that's been on my back for many, many years, and it just bugs me that at my age, I'm still, you know, the Lord has defeated the giant, and I don't know if it's just me not believing it in that fact, or not wanting to hear the Holy Spirit say no more. You know what I'm saying? In that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that.
Well, we can pray for you. We can pray for you.
Sure.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Diane's honesty. We thank you, Lord, that she wants to be clean of eating junk food and the things that aren't healthy for her. And we just come against that spirit in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go from her right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you're going to fill her up with you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. In the name of Jesus, we command that junk food demon to leave her and go wherever junk food demons go, but you can't go back in her, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have freed her up from all of that problem. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you fill her so full of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That all of that other stuff has to go out the back door in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because it can't stay in the same house.
That's right.
That you are, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. That if she gets bit by a mosquito, it'll go off flying, singing, there's power in the blood in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else?
Some of the things we've done here has kind of helped crave our appetite and things, and it's not always the most pleasant thing to do. We've had to go through a few fasts. And I'm actually thinking about picking that up myself here for a couple of days. But and I tell you what, that works. You, when you go back to eating food, you're thinking, geez, it doesn't taste as good as I thought it did, you know. So then the junk food, you know, it doesn't have the same appeal either.
When this last fast was over, Misty like started the Civil War right there in the fellowship. she had a word that the fast was over. As soon as David said that break the fast, I believe what it was, I said amen. And everybody else said amen, amen. And David said, "What? Lord told me till Monday night." I said, "I'm going with what Missy said." But anyway, we all had a good laugh over that. But we did ask the Lord if we were to stop the fast then, and he gave us a yes. So she was right on target.
How long did you guys fast for?
It seemed like weeks, Dave, but it wasn't but just a few days. Go ahead, Missy.
Michael, I would like to say.
Okay.
This is what I believe the Lord told me, and this is, you know, a cast lot, you know, and well, actually what I put in there was this, I got this verse, and the next verse, it was where, I think it was John 21, where the verse said about that they caught 153 fish. And then the next verse was the Lord says, break your fast. And, you know, I was reading through it and everything. And then the Lord got my attention about the word break your fast. And I'm like, Lord, are you saying we're supposed to break our fast already? You know? And I asked him, and he gave me two heads for a yes, you know? And then I thought, well, and very rarely does he give me a confirmation through casting lots again. And I said, well, can you give me a confirmation on that? You know, and he gave me another two heads for a yes. So I told, that's what I emailed David, and I said, now I'm just waiting to see if somebody else gets a word. And that wasn't Missy saying, you know, I wasn't going, I was waiting. I said, I'm waiting. I ain't.
Yeah, you're stumbling there, Missy. You're stumbling.
I'm like, I'm waiting. Don't go off just what I said.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we got confirmation of it. So it was, of course, everybody was praising God for it, you know. No, the fast wasn't that long. We started Thursday after breakfast. That's when we got the word. Can I tell you how we got the word? Vanessa got it. And she started in Joel 2, but she started in the one after, the verse after the fast. What is that? Oh, gosh. Sanctify ye a fast. And that verse, she left it out. And she read the ones after it. Now, and I looked at it and I said, Vanessa, didn't she want to include 15 with that one? She laughed. She said, no, I didn't. Anyway, we went ahead and had the fast. We asked the Lord if that's what he wanted, and he said yes. So we started our fast then, and we ended it. When was that, Missy? Sunday? Sunday, I believe. So it wasn't but just a few days. Just a few days. Anyway, it's a regular hoot around here, I'll tell you. The 40-day fast to me was hilarious. It was hilarious. You know, we throw hamburgers in the blender. I don't know just what all kinds of stuff we throw in the blender. Anyway, okay, we're running out of time. What is today? Is this Thursday? Hey, Willie, are you going to do Saturday night? I got some people coming. I may be busy, but I might be here anyway. If you wanted to do a prayer thing on Saturday night, you don't want to? Okay, okay, brother. That's the way it is.
Yeah, I'm just messing around. If I can't. I'll let you know ahead of time. I'll end up calling you.
Okay, that'd be fine. Hey, listen, let me tell you a little funny story. One of your old numbers, one of your old telephone numbers, I had emailed you on Saturday to ask you if you were going to have that if you were going to do the prayer thing. And this guy comes back and he said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, are you going to do the prayer thing?" He said, "I don't even know what you're talking about. What's that?" Then he said, "We're going to have a revival. That's good. I'm ready for a revival." Anyway, we got to talking. The next day, he come back on and he said, "Hey." And I said, "Hey, what?" He said, "Are you in the revival?" I said, "No, but I should like to be." He said, he started talking or started texting me back and forth there a little bit. And he sounded like a kid. And I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Colton." I said, "Colton." I said, "How old are you, Colton?" He said, 15. He said, I'm a freshman in high school, I believe he said. And we just had a good time. About every other day, he'll text me. And he said, "Mr. Michael, how you doing?" I told him how old I was. He said, "Wow." He said, "I've never talked to anybody that old before." I said, "Man, get out of here." But we've had a good conversation back and forth about Jesus. He's a good Christian boy. And he's on fire for the Lord. He lives up there somewhere around you, Willie, I suspect. But anyway, name was Colby. All right. Anybody need prayer before we go? Leon, you want to close us out with prayer? You mind? Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
All right.
All right, Lord, we thank you for this time that we had together, and we pray that you were blessed by it as much as we were, and that we didn't go off track too much, and I pray that everybody on the conference call enjoyed it as well, and Lord, that possibly we answered some questions that folks had in a biblical way, and maybe help somebody along in their walk with the Lord, and just bless us to come back again, and we just praise you for this time, Lord God, and Lord, if the Northern Army comes, spare your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.